access number 27804, squadron leader Ian Blair, reel 33. Now, this was your last posting,
this is,
you said?
Yeah, this was my final posting, mainly because my daughter was at school there, but I had to come. I was required to retire from the Air Force anyway. So I had this house in Bedford, which was nice and convenient, and between the period of 71 and 73, we were doing the house up and so on and so forth. And
so you were preparing for retirement?
Pardon? Say again?
You were preparing for your retirement?
Oh, yeah, I had been for a couple of years, yeah. I knew, well, from the time I was promoted acting, I knew I didn't have very much longer to go. I had a date anyway.
So but when did you actually finish? Okay, you'd gone there in July 71.
I finished in July on my birthday. It was the anniversary of my, what was it, 59th birthday. That's right.
So that was 1973?
73, 59. So come the night, and I just, all I got was a, oh, I had done a, I'd been sent off on a CV course, i.e. how to, retirement course, or pre-retirement course by the,
What was this pre-retirement course?
It was held somewhere in London. I can't quite remember, some posh place.
What was it like? But any use?
Well, yeah, not really. Yes, it told you how to make. The guy told us how to make a CV, and talked to us about this and that and the other, and how to conduct our interviews and so on and so forth. It wasn't all that outstanding, but it was better than nothing. But I did this house. I was in this house in Bedford, and so I didn't have any dining. I didn't have any formal dining out because it was a civilian mess. Although they did have a dining night, but it wasn't quite the same. But I just left. There was a civilian the next day, and I just carried on.
Now, what? You'd come out, you're 59.
Yeah.
You know, reasonably old. Were you going to work anymore? Did you?
Well, I did, yeah, because I obviously had to work. I had a mortgage, and I was 59. So I thought, well, fair enough, I'll get myself a job. So I wrote a few letters, and I eventually got a job with the Bedford Borough Council. What happened was that I'd applied, and I had an interview, and the chief executive officer on this panel was, the chief admin officer on the panel was an ex-squadron leader navigator. And he was an ex-clerk navigator. And so anyway, they said what they wanted me to work in the highways department as an administrative officer. So the guy thought, the obvious thought was that, you know, admin, Air Force type, must have a bit of background. Anyway, this guy was very enthusiastic because he was ex-Air Force, and I obviously spoke a common language with him, being administer. And when I got the job, finally, as a superintendent, yeah, superintendent status? Anyways, sipping in the admin, and I was working in the depot, which was 5 minutes walking distance from where I lived. So happened I wasn't actually in the town hall, which was about 3 miles up the road.
Now we don't do much about the civilian life, but what we do do is how long did it take you to get used to the civilian lifestyle? I mean, you'd been working in the base.
Never. Well, I never did get used to it because, from the point of view of a civilian life, they're not organized. One of the major thing is everybody plays it close to the chest. This is what I found from the local council. They don't speak to each other. They keep everything in their heads. And if you say why or how, I'll give you for instance, I went on a call. When I was drafted into this thing, I didn't know the first thing about highways or anything to do with that type of thing. And the works manager said, well, you're going to be working in the highways. He said, it'd be a good idea I think, if you went on a highway supervisor's course. I said, yeah, fair comment. I'm quite happy. He said, it's only a week or something like that. So they drafted me. And the thing was, it's a different language. Obviously, you've got your technical terms, which they use in highways maintenance. You know, they talk about footpaths and don't talk about sidewalks, curbs and honching and all this sort of this type of stuff. And when I went on this course, it was just typical. It was a highway supervisor's course, so the people who were on the course were predominantly highway supervisors, except for one or two, me in particular, who was an administrator, and a very raw administrator. And when the guy talked about honching, I used to put my hand up and say, what do you mean by honching? And he looked at me and he said, well, you know. I said, well, I don't really know. That's why I'm asking. And that was it obviously slowed it down a bit. But I came away with a bit of a knowledge of the nomenclature of stuff. That was great. And from then on, I sort of really got stuck in. But the thing I couldn't grasp was, as I said, everybody played it so close to their chest that when you get on site, you've got no terms of reference. You know, you haven't got a book that you can look up and find out how to do things. You have to literally learn the hard way, on-the-job training, if somebody wants to tell you. And, I was 10 years, I think, yeah. And I must confess, by the time I'd been around, I was getting the measure, and they were getting the measure of me, and my chief admin officer, who was on the same wavelength as I, we introduced in the council radio control for the stores. We introduced a stores procedure, much to the disgust of the work study people. But it was all aimed, and we managed to get protective clothing, things like this, which were basic to the service requirement. Then there was the health and safety, which started to blossom, and I was quite right in there. But I found that when I went to work, I had so many. One of the major problems I was dealing with there was the.
Not really relevant to the War Museum, you see. It's really.
No, but I'm just telling you. Okay, fine.
It's only as it applies to sort of the civilian thing, getting used to civilians.
To cut a long story short, I enjoyed it every minute of it there, because no 2 days were alike. You had to learn on the job. There was no terms of reference. The only guy that had any reference was the finance people. And I applied all that I knew, I mean, how to, you know, to sort things out administratively. And my last 2 years, and I knew I was going to retire finally, I wrote out my own service manual of instructions, office instructions. There were 35 of them. And it set down for my successor all the procedures, you know, how to do this with real specimens of the copies of the forms. Because one of the big things was claims.
And all of this was the stuff that you hadn't had when you went in the job.
No. So even after I left, I left, and shortly after I left, about 2 months, 3 months after I left, my wife unfortunately died. And I had been looking so forward, so much forward to her retirement. But so... I say the works depot was only just around the corner, 5 minutes. The guys were very sympathetic, and the works manager rang me. She said, why don't you come back on a part-time basis? So I went back for 3 or 4 months, back on the job, if you like, doing the jobs that I knew hadn't been done very well, and managed to tidy it up. It was about for 6 months, roughly.
Part-time. Get yourself back into it.
Well, I wasn't doing any admin. I was just doing the one job. Highways inspection was one of the main holes in the road, you know. And the aggravation that those utilities caused the council, which I knew about, they didn't pay their bills and all sorts of stuff like this.
Now, what about your contacts with your old comrades, in other words? Well, which associations do you remember? I know you're a member of the Essex Air Crew.
Well, I'm the secretary of the Essex Air Crew Association.
Now, what does that do for you? You know, why is that important to you? I mean, it's fairly obvious, but if you could just explain.
Well, it's when I first joined, about 1980-something, when I first came here, we had 70-odd members, 77 members. We're now down to 30. But they're nearly all... nearly all were air gunners and wireless operators. Very few, one or two pilots, nearly all bomber command pilots. I was the only fighter command pilot. We're left with nearly all gunners and navigators at the moment, so I'm quite happy. Because I can, having done this armament course, I can talk with the gunners, I can talk with the bombers. Having done my own navigation over the years, I know what it's all about. And so I'm quite reasonably well in the union, so to speak.
Now, what else do you remember?
I'm also in the Blenheim Society and the Spitfire Society.
What does the Blenheim and Spitfire Society
Well, obviously, my Blenheim goes back to my origins of the Blenheim aircraft. But you say there's not many of us left anyway, so and the Spitfire Society. And a member of the RAF Historical Society. So, I think...
Are you in Bomber Command Association?
I'm only pay lip service to that, but I do attend their functions, and Hendon, of course. I go to Hendon. I'm what they call a friend of the museum. I do the conducted tours and things, members of the public. I've been doing that for about 15 years now.
Do you ever get any recognition of the fact that this quite famous poster, that you are the original of the photograph?
Recognition only comes from those who I tell, basically. There was one interesting saga at the museum, RAF Museum. A copy of the poster hangs up there, and one of the wardens... was going around, and he told me, and I was there with some friends and some Americans as well, and some Australians, and the warden tapped him on the shoulder, and he said, you know, see that guy over there? Well, that's the guy on the poster, and that's about it. And of course, once it leaked out, they were, well, couldn't do enough to get pictures and the usual type of thing. But no, it's I did auction some of those posters in the aid of one of the RAF Benevolent Fund at Southers Base. I had some of the original posters. I signed them and put them up for auction, and they got 800 quid for them. And they've gone off to some museum somewhere. But I don't make anything out of it. The only thing I get is that when we do recently, we've been signing pictures for the company Aces High, and they give us a few quid for the... Well, it's all right. It's a bit ridiculous, but it's no hardship for me. I can sit down and sign a few prints. It doesn't make any good. It does association or whatever. No, it's a business. They charge the members of the public 15 quid to get a signature. Ridiculous, really.
Thank you very much.